Recently, I was reading a new book of meditations, and I came across a startling anecdote about that well-known poet and short story writer, Dorothy Parker. How many of you have ever read anything by Dorothy Parker? Well, a few. She was famous for being a curmudgeon. I guess females can be curmudgeons or curmudgeonettes. At any rate, she had a very caustic and sharp wit. But this one topped it all. Evidently, she always answered the telephone and said, "What fresh hell is this?" Wow. But you know something? Not quite those words, but that's what I've been saying for months. Every time I turned on the television and heard those damn political attack ads. They were like a flood of fresh hell, day after day. You know, I got very adept at clicking the mute button on my remote. There's some ways of dealing with this. But thanks be to God, those political attack ads are over. Now, I know that many of you felt that on Tuesday night you experienced a huge round of fresh hell. But had the results gone the other way, another group of you would have felt the same. I've been amazed at how deep the anger and the sorrow, the sadness and the depression have been for so many. Some have gone so far as to say it was an apocalyptic moment for them. Now, you know, apocalyptic is a fancy word used to mean a total or universal destruction. You know, if a meteor hit the earth, we would know what an apocalyptic moment is. When they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, it was an apocalyptic moment. If we were in the middle of a giant earthquake and a tsunami hit us, we would know what an apocalypse is. You know, that word is also, though, used in a type of literature and even movies that talk about the war of the worlds, the end of time, the invasion of the zombies. But you know, it so happens that that's a part of the Bible too, and you heard an example of it in today's gospel. Some of the disciples were standing there looking at the humongous giant stones that made up the walls of the temple. And Jesus then warned them that the time was coming when they were all going to be thrown down. And this will be preceded by wars and insurrections, by great earthquakes, by famines, by plagues. When will this happen? They asked Jesus. Well, it will happen when you begin to be persecuted and expelled from the synagogues and even from your families because of your faith in me, Jesus. Well, thank God, that's not happening here. But watching what's going on in the world today, it's happening all over the place. All of these signs are happening to Christians and all kinds of other people. When we look at the apocalyptic horrors of Iraq and Syria and the South Sudan, we can see these prophecies happening in our own times. So even in the depths of our despair or unhappiness or even our joy with our political process, there is nothing like the horrendous civil wars and devastating natural disasters happening elsewhere. Now, that's not to discount the serious pain of economic and social dislocation that's so troubling so much of our country, or the rising destructiveness due to climate change. But in the end, don't we have to be thankful for what we have and realize we have an important obligation to be of assistance to those in the midst of those wars and natural disasters? My friends, there are things we can do. We can assist refugees in our midst or elsewhere. We can help with those suffering from natural disasters. Now, in that same meditation that I began with, there's another quotation that I had forgotten about. It's very different from Dorothy Parker. It comes from the Rule of Saint Benedict. Benedict lists the third most important person in the monastery as being the porter, the doorkeeper. Why? Because Benedict placed such high value on the ministry of hospitality. You know, the monasteries in the Middle Ages were about the only place travelers out on the road could stop and safely spend the night. The porters were instructed to go up to the front door of the monastery, not open the door quite yet, and shout, "Thanks be to God, a blessing, please." It didn't, and then they would open the door, and it didn't matter who stood there, rich or poor, Christian or not. They are to be treated as honored guests and even as Christ himself. Whatever their needs were, the monks were to try to meet them if possible. That form of radical hospitality in the Middle Ages was so important because it modeled what they thought the life of Jesus was like. It was their practical way of sharing their faith. And it's something we're trying to recover today. How radically different is that shout from "What fresh hell is this?" It's a putting of into practice Jesus' advice to the disciples. Don't worry about what you're going to say in a situation where your faith really is called upon. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will give you the words to say that are appropriate to that situation. You know, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, constantly, over and over again, is saying that meeting the needs of others should remind us that is our grateful response to what God has already done, is doing, and will do in the future in and through Jesus Christ. Somehow we will be given the natural and appropriate words to tag our hospitable actions as being rooted in our faith in Jesus. So, I think we'd probably all agree that we are in a time of great change. Everybody is complaining about all the changes. At the same time, everybody is demanding more change. People are so angry. But the pathway ahead is unclear. But it is my opinion that what that requires of us is a serious commitment to work with those whose views are very different from ours, so that we can discern God's will for the common good. That's why our churches and our Christian fellowship are so important to us, maybe more than ever before, because this is where we're being called on and equipped to model in our times the kind of Christ-like openness that Saint Benedict is talking about. Who knows who is knocking at our door. They just might be a great blessing for us. Uncertain times call for us to reach down deeper and deeper into our faith. So in that regard, let me share with you one of my favorite memories of reading about something. It was about an inscription on an English tombstone, written just after the terrible English Civil War, in which the king and the Archbishop of Canterbury had been executed, the bishops and the prayer books had been outlawed, and Cromwell's troops were storming the countryside, destroying everything that was beautiful in the churches. The Church of England had experienced an apocalyptic moment. And it was in the midst of that that this person did something that was so notable that they wrote this on his gravestone. So here it is. In the year 1653, when all things sacred were throughout the nation either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley, Baronet, founded this church. His singular praise, it is to have done the best things in the worst time and hope them in the most calamitous. So, my friends, whether you were among those who feel that the last 8 years were the worst of times, or whether you are part of those who think we're entering into a period that will be the worst of times, it's good for all of us to remember that inscription. He did the best of things in the worst of times. He did it by reaching deep down into his faith and founding a church, even in the midst of the destruction of churches. Now, friends, we don't have to found a new church, but rather we need to rejoice that we rejoice in Emmanuel's 150 years of service to God, and we need to provide for its future. We need to remember that Emmanuel has been here for us in the best of times and in the worst of times. Our life here together serves to remind us that whatever the times may be, Christ reigns. It's here that we experience his love binding us together in ways that transcend all of our differences. It's here that we're being equipped to carry his love out into the world that so badly needs to hear and receive that love. And it's because of our gratitude for his love that we can be and are joyful. Joyful in our worship, joyful in our service to those in need, joyful in our fellowship together, and yes, finally, joyful in our giving to support Christ's work here in this place. Amen.